We just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would just rest upon your heart and soul. And we are privileged to have Pastor David Bork with us. And we just pray that God would just use you tonight. Amen. Amen. And we just thank God for him. We thank God for him filling the shoes of Johnny Lee, Pastor John, or Evangelist Johnny Lee that was supposed to be here. Thank you, brother, for coming. We certainly do appreciate it, and thank you for that. Well, amen. Without further ado, Pastor Borg, why don't you come, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord has put upon your heart for us. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. I probably don't need a whole lot of volume here, so you can just kind of turn me down. Well, praise the Lord. I want you to know that I'm not intimidated by small numbers. It doesn't bother me a bit. I've preached to one. I've preached to two. I've preached in facilities that were not nearly as nice as this one. So I'm just blessed to be here and be amongst those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And are pressing into Him and serving Him and worshiping Him and loving Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just slip up our hands for a few moments and just worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Just give Him thanks for who He is, what He's done for you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love You. We love You, Lord God. We thank You, Father, because You first loved us. Lord, we thank You for the great price that You paid on Calvary's cross. We thank You for the blood of the Lamb. We thank You, Father, that You made a way, God, for us when there was no way. Lord, when we were steeped in trespasses and sins, Lord God, You came down and You provided what we needed, Lord God. You became our Jehovah Jireh. You provided a sacrifice, O God. And Father, we're grateful to You for that, Lord. We will throughout eternity, Lord God, be ever praising You and thanking You for what You have given to us, what You have provided. And Lord, we just declare today, Lord God, as a body, as the body of Christ, we declare today our love for You, our commitment to You. Lord, that You would have Your way, God, in each heart and in each life. Father, that You would truly make a way where there is no way. Father, that You would encourage, that You would strengthen Your people, Lord God. God, that You would lift them up above the shadows. Father God, that Your good and Your perfect will would be done, Lord, in this place, God, in each heart and in each life. Lord, that You would be glorified, God, above all else. Be magnified, O Lord. And Father, we'll thank You for that. Thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You for hearts that will be changed and challenged, Lord God, for the glory of Your kingdom. We give You praise, we give You honor, and we say it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you all notice I brought some ministry material there from Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. So I'd encourage you to take a look at it after the service. Got Bibles. We got the new Children's Bible. CDs, DVDs. I got the new CDs from Joseph and Grace. A couple of CDs of my wife there as well. A few teaching DVDs I'm sorry, of myself. So take a look at that, and I've got credit card slips as well if you want to avail yourself to that. Turn your Bibles tonight. I want us to look at a few passages of Scripture here for a few moments in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians is probably one of my favorite books. I think the book of Ephesians, Paul lays out what it means to be in Christ. One of the most profound themes that you will see throughout the book of Ephesians, and really all of Paul's letters, but Ephesians seems to really bring that out, is the in Christ message. Anytime you see that phrase, whenever you see in Christ, in Him, in whom, anything along those lines, it is always referring to what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. In case you didn't know it, that's what I'm going to lift up. I'm going to lift up Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to lift up Jesus the man. I'm not going to lift up Jesus the good teacher. the great prophet, the miracle worker, the humanitarian. I'm going to lift up the Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary. That's the Jesus that needs to be lifted up. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." He was referring to being lifted up on that cross. It's Calvary that allowed us to be put in a position to where we could in fact be recipients of all of the covenant provisions and all of the benefits that God has for us. It's all through Calvary. It's all through the blood. That's why throughout eternity we will forever be thanking God for the blood. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why we worship Him. That's why we praise Him. Because of the price that He paid on Calvary's cross. And as a result of that cross and that blood that was shed, He was resurrected. He was ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. And as a result of His position of being exalted and seated at the right hand of the Father, now He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need. So we need to thank Him. We need to praise Him. Thank Jesus for the blood. But the book of Ephesians, it brings out that in Christ message. Everything centers around Christ. It's all about Jesus. That's what church is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of things that I do, things that I don't do. It's not a list of places that I go and places that I don't go. It's not a list of things that I say, things that I don't say. Christianity is a living, vital relationship with the living Jesus Christ who died on that cross of Calvary. That's what Christianity is. I think Paul would probably express what it means to be a Christian probably the most clear and concise in a passage or two of Scripture, actually in one passage of Scripture, in Galatians 2:20. When he said this, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this mortal coil, I live it by the faith of the Son of God." You know what the faith of the Son of God is? It points to Calvary. That's why he said the faith of the Son of God. Jesus Christ was faithful unto death, even the death of the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame, so on and so forth. He went to Calvary. And Paul was declaring, this was his testimony. He said, "This life that I live as a Christian, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I live it according to Calvary." If you're not living your Christianity according to Calvary, then you're not living Christianity. You're not living Bible Christianity. You're living what most of the church is living, which is a philosophy of Christianity. Do-goodism. Morality. They approach their Christianity like another religion. I always say this, and it might be kind of a hard statement to make, but I believe it to be true. If you want to be religious, or if you want to be a good religious person, why not just go be a good Mormon? Mormons are some of the most outwardly, morally pure people that I've ever met. They're very family-oriented. They're good people. They got a good work ethic. They work hard. I don't know too many Christians that take 2 years out of their life and they go door-to-door and witness to you. I know I haven't done it. They're committed to their religion. So if you want to be religious, man, just go ahead and be a good Mormon. But that does not make you a Christian. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is living Christ, identifying yourself with Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. What we look at here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, Paul prayed several prayers. There's several prayers that we see throughout the epistles, Paul's letters. And in every one of these prayers, really, without exception, when you break them down and you look at the prayers that Paul prayed, and there's four or five that have any substance. You got two of them in Ephesians. You got one in Colossians. You got a couple in the book of 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, I believe. But if you break them down and you look at each one of them, every one of them will be in the context of him praying for the believers that they would have a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he did on the cross of Calvary, without exception. And we're going to look at one of those tonight in the book of Ephesians here. Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, he would say, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." We see here that Paul had witnessed, he had recognized these believers, that they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sort of as if he said, "You know what? I recognize that I have a group of people here that are really sincere. They're really sincere about their Christianity. They really love God. And because of that, I feel compelled and impressed to pray this prayer for them." You see, what God desires for every one of us is that we would, of course, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to grow in this thing. But notice, growth takes place only in the grace and in the knowledge, the knowing of who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do for us on Calvary's cross. We need to be growing in our understanding and growing in our revelation of what Christ has provided for us and what Christ has given unto us as believers. We need to grow in that. And this was the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul. He had a heart and he had a desire for the people, the sheep, whom were under his care, that they would grow in their understanding and their revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he did on the cross of Calvary. That was his heart. That was his desire. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to know Christ in a greater way, that they would have a greater understanding of Calvary. Every one of us, everyone in the church, really needs a revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, what he did on the cross of Calvary and what has been provided for us cannot really be comprehended with the natural mind. The Bible says that the natural man, remember this, understandeth not the things of the Spirit. So therefore, it takes the Spirit of God to open up our eyes spiritually, that we may be able to see these things that have been freely given unto us. Remember, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it was, that the Spirit of God has been given to us that we may know the things that are freely given unto us. God has baptized us in the Holy Ghost, filled us with the Spirit of God, so that the Spirit of God and his main responsibility and goal in the life of the believer is to teach them Jesus. Remember that when Jesus said concerning the Comforter, concerning the Paraclete, concerning the Holy Spirit, you look at John 14, 15, and 16, he talked about the coming of the Comforter. And he would say that he has come and he will come and he will teach you all things concerning me. You see, that's his goal. The goal of the Spirit of God, he's not in you just to give you goosebumps and make you speak in tongues. Thank God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thank God for my prayer language. I pray in it all the time. But the goal of the Holy Spirit is not tongues. The goal of the Holy Spirit is not the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for them. We need to operate in them in the church. But the goal, the main goal of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you and to teach you all things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the main thing, of course, that he's teaching you is the new covenant and what he accomplished and what he did on the cross of Calvary. So he is in you for that purpose. So that you may understand and that you may know the things that have been freely given unto you in Christ Everything that God's covenant affords you and gives to you. So, Paul is praying here. He sees a group of believers here that he recognizes that they have faith. He recognizes that they're sincere. He recognizes that they have a hunger and they have a desire for God. And he says, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And what does he pray? He prays this in verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, you know that our God is the Father of all glory. Amen. Amen. He's the Father of all glory. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give unto you. Notice that. God wants to give you something. You see, this prayer that Paul prayed, it wasn't just something out of his mind. This was the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. This was the desire of the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants you to know. This is what the Holy Ghost, it would not be in God's in the canon of Scripture, it would not be in the Word of God if it was not significant and if it wasn't the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit and what He wanted you to understand and have a revelation of. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give this unto you. What does He want to give to you? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That word knowledge, it is an experiential knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge. You know, the goal of the Holy Spirit is not just to give you a bunch of head knowledge about God, head knowledge about Jesus Christ. He wants us to have a working, experiential knowledge of, again, who He is and what He did on the cross of Calvary. The prayer of the Apostle Paul was that God would give them this spirit of wisdom and what does it mean, revelation? To take off the cover. That your eyes would be open. That the blinders would be taken off of your eyes. How many of you know that the devil does not want you to understand? The devil does not want you to have a revelation of Jesus Christ, of who He is and what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's why most churches are not preaching it. They're preaching another Jesus, another gospel, and it's producing another spirit. You see, when you don't preach and teach the Jesus of the cross, then you, my friend, are preaching another Jesus. If the Jesus that's declared behind your pulpit, if it's the humanitarian Jesus, if it's the miracle-working Jesus, if it's the good Jesus, the moral Jesus, the good man, the great prophet, oh, He was a wonderful teacher. Look at how Jesus He went and He met the needs of people. And He did do those things. And we as the body of Christ, as the Spirit of God leads us, we need to do that. But that's not what He came for. Jesus didn't come to be a good humanitarian. He didn't come to be a miracle worker. He came really for one sole purpose, and that was to die on the cross of Calvary. That's why He came. That was His purpose, that was His reason, so that mankind, humanity, could be redeemed. So what God wants to reveal to you, He wants to reveal to you the cross of Calvary. So that your eyes would be opened in a greater capacity to it. God the Father of glory, He wants to give you that, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, your eyes being opened, the cover being taken off, the curtains being drawn, if you will, in the knowing, the experiential knowledge of who He is and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. You see, we may think that we know it all. I might think that I know it all, but the reality is I don't, and neither do you. Nobody does. We need to have a greater revelation. We need to have a greater understanding, a greater in-depth knowing, knowledge, experiential knowledge, amen,
of this new covenant, of who Christ is and what He did on the cross. It doesn't do you a bit of good to have a head full of understanding and knowledge, but it not be working knowledge, it not be experience, it not be spirit and life to you.
It may in fact just be dead letter of the law. It might just be something that you have in your head. You know, just because someone acquiesces to the fact that there is a God doesn't make them a believer. Just because someone acquiesces to the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that doesn't make you a believer. That does not necessarily mean that you are experiencing, you know, that you have an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. We need a revelation of Him. We need our eyes open. It's not good enough just to have a head knowledge. It's not good enough just to acquiesce to the, yeah, I believe that Jesus died for me. No, do you really believe that? You see, the word believe, that's a word in itself that very few Christians really understand. You know what it means to believe, to really believe? Remember James said this. He said, demons believe and tremble. Does that mean they're saved? Does that mean they have a relationship with God? They believe. No. Biblical belief, this is the definition of true biblical belief. It is entrusting one's spiritual well-being to Christ for provision, for performance, and for care. That's biblical belief. What that is in a nutshell is that is you have yielded yourself to, you have surrendered to, you have presented yourself to God, a living sacrifice, you have entrusted yourself to Him, and you said, Lord, You take my life. You use me for Your glory. You take up this life and you do what you desire to do with it. That's a believer. God, I trust You. I entrust myself to You. I commit myself to You, my well-being to You in every capacity. You are my provider. You are my need meter. You are the one that I look to. You are the one that I depend upon. You are the one that I trust. That makes a believer. So what Paul is praying for these believers here is that they would have a deeper knowledge, experiential knowledge, a working knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we all need, every one of us. God, give us a revelation. Give us a revelation of the work that You have done on the cross of Calvary. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowing of Him. We need to know Him. Remember, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, verse 10, that I may know Him. Remember that? Should be a very a passage of Scripture that is very dear to your heart, because that should be your heartbeat as well. I know it's mine. That I may know Him. How? In the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that we may know Him in the context of Calvary. That's what it means. That's the only way that you can know Him. You see, you can't know God outside of Calvary. You can't know God outside of a revelation of Jesus Christ and what He did on. You can't know Him. You can't know Him. I'm going to make a statement that might make some of you mad. You can't know God by reading your Bible. You can know about God. You can know about His ways. You can learn about Him. But you can't know God. An experiential knowing until you approach Him by the way of the cross. It only comes through the cross. You see, this book, the main purpose of this book is to testify of the sacrifice of the Christ from beginning to end. It's all about the sacrifice from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. It's all about the blood. Every one of those Old Testament sacrifices, they were meant to point to the Messiah who would come and die on the cross of Calvary. Every one of them. All the way through from Genesis to Revelation. Every one.
Every book in the Bible is meant to testify of that. I wrote down a quote by a particular commentator, and I thought it was so profound that that I wrote it in my Bible, and from time to time I will quote it. And listen to this. This is what he said, a commentator by the name of Evans. He said, "The atonement is the scarlet cord running through every page in the entire Bible. Cut the Bible anywhere, and it bleeds. It is red with redemption truth." Isn't that a profound statement? Amen? Profound statement. You can cut this book anywhere. You can cut it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, so on and so forth. You can continue through to the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the minor prophets, Nehemiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos. You can cut it anywhere, and it will testify when you take off the veneer and you take off the cover of everything. It testifies of the sacrifice all the way through. That's what the purpose of this book is. So Paul is praying that they may know Him, really have a revelation of Him, Jesus Christ, who He is, what He did on the cross of Calvary. Then He would go on in verse 18 and He would say, "This is what I pray for you, that the eyes of your understanding," that really probably would be better translated, "the eyes of your heart," "that the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the," notice this, "the hope of His calling." See, we're all about our calling, you know, what I'm called to do, my ministry and my purpose. And thank God He does have ministry and He does have purpose for us. And we need to find out what that is. We need to seek God for it. But God wants you to know and have a revelation of the hope of His calling. What does that mean, the hope of His calling? What has He called you to? He's called you to be a saint. He's called you to live in Christ Jesus. He's called you to live by His Spirit. He's called you to live in the realm of all of His covenant provisions and all that Christ purchased for you. That's where what He's called you to live in. That's what He's called you to experience. The hope of His calling. You are called to be in Christ Jesus. You're called to be a Christian. And then He says, "And what the riches," notice this, "the riches of the glory of His," notice that, it's not your inheritance, "the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." You see, the Holy Ghost wants you to know something. He wants you to know what God has invested in you. In Christ. Paul called it a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. The Holy Ghost wants you to know. God the Father wants you to know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory. The riches of the glory of His inheritance, where? In the saints. You see, God has invested something in you. He's invested in you a deposit of Christ. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of... You need to have your eyes open to that. You need to know that. What God has invested in you. The great inheritance that He has in you. All that is afforded you in Christ Jesus. He wants you to know all of the benefits that there are in this great covenant that was cut at Calvary's cross. You see, God has a storehouse of riches in glory. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? According to His riches in glory. There's a table spread of all of His covenant provisions and all of His benefits and all of His blessings. God wants you to know what is that great inheritance. You've inherited something, folks. When you've been adopted into this family, when we can cry out to our God, Abba, Father, because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. God has laid a table out before you, and He wants you to have a revelation of and to know this great inheritance
that has been given to you. You see, you can't receive an inheritance until there's a death. Well, guess what? There's been a death. Son of the living God. He died on the cross, and as a result of His death, now that inheritance has been given unto you. It's been invested in you. You are the container of the glory of God. We, as in a glass, are beholding the glory of the Lord and being changed from glory to glory. God wants you to know what He's invested in you. This great inheritance. He's given you everything that you need as a child of God. He wants you to know it. He wants you to know it. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you pardon. He's given you sanctification. His name is Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He's given you peace, Jehovah Shalom. He's given you provision, Jehovah Jireh. He's given you victory, Jehovah Nissi. He's given you everything that you need. It's what's invested in you. He wants you to know that. He wants your eyes to be open to it. And it can only be by the Spirit of God that it can be revealed to you, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And He would say this, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power?" Hallelujah. God wants you to have your eyes open to the exceeding greatness of His power. To who? What does it say there? To usward. Who what? Who what? Remember my definition of belief? You see, when you're really believing properly, the result is going to be the power of God manifest in your life. No, I'm not talking about necessarily miracle-working power. That's part of it. But you know what? When you look at that word power, you see it throughout the New Testament. One of the greatest definitions of that word power, it's dunamis in the Greek, but it is ability. Ability. God wants to give you, and that really falls under the category of grace as well, He wants to give you His ability. Amen? I mean, you need God's ability in your life. I need God's ability. I can't live this Christian life myself. I'm not good enough. I don't know about you, but I've realized that I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm not religious enough. I'm not holy enough. I don't have enough willpower. I cannot live this Christian life in my own strength. God never intended for humanity to be able to, at least on this side of Adam and Eve, for humanity to live Christianity in the power of their own strength, because you don't have what it takes, my friend. You don't have what it takes. We need God. We need God. We need His power. We need His ability. And again, it's not just referring to miracle-working power, but power to live the Christian life. Power to overcome sin. Power to overcome and tread upon serpents and the powers of darkness that would want to come against us and hinder us in our walk. God wants to give you His power, His ability, so that you can be what He's called you to be, so that you can be a Christian. Amen? A Christian. The hope of His calling. He's called you to be a Christian. He's called you to be Christ-like. He's called you to live in relationship with Him. He wants you to know His power. Notice it's not just power, but the exceeding greatness. I believe I haven't looked at that definition of a while, but I believe in the Greek that's hyperbalon. And it means exceedingly exceeding. I mean, it's just God's power and ability for the believer is above and beyond anything that we can even ask or think. God gives you what you need if you'll just come to Him and you'll just depend upon Him. Amen. May the Lord open up our eyes, give us a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, how does all this happen? Verse 20 spells it out, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You see, as a result of Calvary, His death on the cross, He was raised from the dead. in Christ. What does in Christ mean? Remember I said what in Christ means? It means Calvary. He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated at that place of authority in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You know, the body of Christ is to express the fullness of Christ here in this earth. Remember Jesus said this, that in John chapter 1, He said, of His fullness, or actually it was John the Baptist speaking of Him, of His fullness have we received, remember that, and grace for grace. He wants you to walk in His fullness. The body of Christ is to be an expression of the fullness of Christ here in this earth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to live in His grace. He wants to live in the truth of who He is and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And when we do that, we can be an expression of His power, an expression of His grace and His glory here in this earth. You know that you're the only Jesus that most people are going to see. Jesus isn't here anymore in the physical sense. He's expressing Himself through His body, through His people. And He wants to express Himself through you. That's why Paul is praying for these believers that they would know what they have invested in them, know what they have in Christ Jesus. You see, this is Christianity. This is Christianity. You're not living Christianity until you live in Christ. Until you live in Christ. And I'm not talking about just trying to act like Jesus. You know, most of the church is trying to act like Him. God is not calling actors. He wants you to be like Christ by you allowing His life to be manifest, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it was, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's the goal. The life of Christ. The life of Christ. That we would have a revelation of Him. We would live Him. Not just live about Him or act like Him, but we would live Him. Live the very life of Christ. You see, Jesus died to give you abundant life. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. That abundant life is not, I heard one renowned television evangelist say that, well, you know, that abundant life that Jesus was talking about, it was bigger cars, it was more money, it was nicer houses, nicer clothes. That's the abundant life. No, it's not, my friend. You may not have any of those things. You may live in a shack. You may do your shopping at the Goodwill. But you can have this abundant life. This abundant life is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's living in and experiencing that life that God has given to you. May the Lord open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and give us all, amen, a revelation of who He is and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word, Lord God. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that it would penetrate deep within our hearts, Lord. Give us truly a revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Truly open up the eyes, God. Open up the eyes. This is our prayer right now, Father. Not just a distant scripture that we read and don't apply to our lives. But Lord, this is our prayer right now. Now I'm going to ask You, if You desire that tonight, that You would agree with me in this prayer. Open up the eyes of our understanding, that we may know what is the hope of Your calling and the glorious riches of the inheritance in the saints. This is our prayer, Lord. The glorious inheritance in the saints.
the hope of your calling, Lord God, that we would know and have a revelation of it. And the power to usward who believe by the working of your mighty power, O God, that you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your own right hand. Father, may we be recipients of all that you have afforded us, all that you have given to us in that great inheritance, Father. We love you tonight, Lord God. Thank you for the price that you paid. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Lord, throughout eternity, we will be thanking you, praising you. The cherubim and the seraphim in glory, they are crying out to you, "Worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy." And Lord, we know that throughout eternity we will as well. We really have a full understanding of what you did for us. We look through a glass darkly now, but then we will see face to face and we'll really know the great price that you paid and how deep our redemption was, Lord God. But Father, while we're on this earth right now, we ask that you would give us revelation, give us understanding, that we may know the deep things of God, that you may be glorified in our lives, that you may be magnified. And Father, we'll give you thanks, we'll give you praise, and we'll give you glory. And we say it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Pastor?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Borg. Oh, that was good. That was good. Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we just pray that God would open up our eyes. A greater revelation of Him than ever before.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Would you get the offering bags? Amen. They're back there. We're going to pick up a love offering for him. If you're making out a check, just make it to Gaydon International Church or GIC, whatever. And or if you need an offering envelope so we can keep track of your giving. Everything we pick up goes to him, definitely, definitely. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't forget tomorrow night, same time, 7 o'clock, and then Sunday at 10. And that was a good word. Thank you. That was, it just encouraged me that we're on the right track. Amen. Oh, I tell you, God is good. God is good. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Also, matter of note, don't forget that if you'd like to purchase any of these items here, you can. The price list is on the wall there. I think that's what that is. Okay. So to be able to purchase any of these things. Amen. Don't forget tomorrow at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 10. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Borg, Lord God, in bringing him our way, Lord. Father, we count it as a great honor, Father, to have him in our midst, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would, Lord, be with everyone tonight as we go home, Father. And Lord, reveal yourself to us more than we ever could imagine, Lord, as our trust is in you and you alone, Father. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.